Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Menopause Sisters Show, where our host, Nancy Monroe, co-creator of Cool Cami, the only camisole designed to give women relief from hot flashes, and Laura Dankoff, nurse practitioner and author of Seeds for Change, A Path to Health and Healing, will cover topics related to women in various stages of menopause.
Women are so excited.
They're excited because it's spring.
Yeah, finally. Oh, my gosh. And we have another sister today. Now, do you want to be called Angie or Angela?
Angie is fine.
And I don't know where that other sister is. She's missing in action.
Yeah.
Who knows? But maybe she'll join us. Anyway.
Maybe she's having a hot flash.
Or she's brewing something.
There you go.
She's got some concoction that she's brewing. So anyway, I thought today, you know, that spring is coming. It made me think of getting my garden started, which I still have to figure out. But you know, I thought there's got to be a bunch of home remedies out there to help women with different stages of menopause. So I actually found, and I'll post this on our show page, but this is Best Health Magazine had natural home remedies for menopause problems. And so I'll just kind of go through some of these here, and you guys can kind of chime in what you think of these. But and especially this very first one, say yes to soy. Now, Laura, I thought you said soy is bad for you.
I'm not a big fan of soy.
Yeah.
It is estrogenic. There's conflicting research on the benefits of soy. 90% of soy is genetically modified. I am absolutely not a fan of soy.
Yeah, because it's saying eat 200 to 250 grams of tofu every day.
That sounds appetizing.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, yum, let me eat my tofu now.
There's other ways that you can help modulate your hormones without resorting to soy, in my opinion.
Oh, hold on, Colleen's joining us now. Colleen.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Now we've got four sisters. So for those of you listening, we really are sisters, and it's only half of us are part of this show. But anyway, so let me move on to the next one. It says, don't sweat it. To help control hot flashes and night sweats, take 1/2 to 1 milliliter of black cohosh in tincture form 2 to 4 times a day. Now, black cohosh, is that like seeds? Is it powder? Is it a pill? What is
it? Evidently, they must be talking about, obviously, a tincture, which is a liquid, but it does come in a kind of a capsule or pill-type form that you can buy.
Okay.
I use black cohosh every day. Let me tell you my experience with black cohosh. I take one tablet every day. I get it from you know, the supplement section or the herbal section of your grocery store or the health food store. And I take one a day, and my hot flashes reduced. And practically, I never had hardly any after a while. And so just in the last couple of weeks, I ran out of it. And so I thought, I'll see how I do without it. Well, I did fine, like maybe for the first week. But then the second week, I was, like, having hot flashes again, and, like, not just at night, but, like, during the day. It's like, all right, going back to the black cohosh. So I did.
Or you could wear Cool Cami.
Oh, yes, that too.
That's right.
Hello. And that way you wouldn't, and, you know, what is that, what's that cohosh cost you?
$3 the last time I got it.
That's not too expensive. yeah, so something about putting in half a cup of water or tea. This is for night sweats. The herb has astringent qualities that can help quell profuse sweating. Some women take vitamin E. I take vitamin E all the time, and that doesn't do anything for me. So, yeah, that's something, one option. If you don't want to, you know, choose to use Cool Cami, that's fine. The other one says stay chaste, and then it says, but not in that way. It says, the berries of chaste tree have been used by women for some 2,000 years. They help restore progesterone levels, which decrease significantly during menopause.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even heard of this.
Yeah, they're talking about chaste berry.
Yeah, chaste berries are essential. An essential oil there that's made from chaste berry is called Vitex. And I had read about it in Kurt Schnabel's newer book that he wrote a couple years ago. I had two. I gave a dilution to a coworker who had a hysterectomy. I don't think she's had too much in the way of hot flashes. It's kind of hard sometimes when you give people something. It's like, okay, are you using it, whatever. I do know I did have a coworker who was having a lot before your period stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drawing a blank.
PMS.
Thank you very much. She was having symptoms where she said she maybe had one good week out of a month. And I said, I got this, and I gave her dilution, and she told me it has helped enormously for her PMS.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
But there is research out there, I know, showing that chaste berry, just like the black cohosh, and another one, maybe it's flax. I have a coworker that used flax,
mm-hmm.
and had a lot of success with flax.
Yeah, I eat flax every day, and it doesn't do anything.
Are you eating it ground flax?
No.
Or flax seeds?
Flax seeds.
Okay, they're not doing any good because they're just passing through. You may as well be eating cardboard. Flax, to be effective, has to be ground.
Well, why don't they tell people that?
Flax seeds in and of themselves.
I have a year supply of this stuff. Come on.
From what I've read, will do nothing because the seed just, it won't break down. It passes through.
Right,
you need
right.
to grind it, break it up.
Now the other one I do have ground is chai.
Chia. Chia doesn't have anything to do with, I haven't seen anything about menopause, but it is a very good
thing
to add because
it's
great
right.
in fiber and everything, yeah.
Yeah, it's high in protein and essential fatty mm-hmm. acids and so forth. But if you go back to talk about chaste berry a little bit and to why that helps with PMS and hormonal regulation, it actually stimulates the area in the brain that helps your ovaries modulate the release of progesterone. So if you have progesterone imbalances, it can help stimulate that and help regulate your hormones.
Okay.
Good.
How do you know that?
How do I know that?
Because you just pulled that out of the air like, I'm an expert on this stuff.
Because I talk to women every day about their hormones.
Wow. Yep.
It was good, but I didn't know exactly the science behind it. So,
mm-hmm.
And I just know that, especially for the coworker, she's in her 30s, and she was just, she says, and she's a big user of essential oils, and she says, "What do you know of anything that can really help this?" And I said, "Well, let me look." And I had bought the Vitex essential oil when my daughter had a hysterectomy, thinking, "Oh, here, this will kind of help you." She, kind of like me, really, sorry girls, never had much of a problem with hot flashes.
Well, count yourself lucky.
I know.
And then, so this last section that she covers is around, of course, stay away from alcohol, coffee, spicy foods, hot drinks, to help prevent accelerating bone loss. Make sure you get enough protein. And she's saying get about 1,500 to 2,000 milligrams of calcium a day, plus vitamin D. Is there anything else you would recommend for osteoporosis?
besides vitamin D, there's also K2, helps magnesium, calcium, vitamin D3, and K2 all work synergistically together to help. And then, of course, weight-bearing exercise does as well.
Yeah, I was going to jump in on that. And heavy weights, I mean, I think that's one thing I see women afraid to do is they use their little poofy weights in the gym. And I'm like, hey, pick up something that has some meat to it. And start off slow, but, you know, that's just going to make a huge difference. I'm a big fan of that. So those are the ones that are covered on this page. So let's start with Colleen. What other types of home remedies, you know, maybe especially from an aromatherapy standpoint, would you recommend for different things that complicated things that women suffer through for menopause?
Well, I just looked up real quick after I saw your email this morning. It's like, okay, what I've got here. And a lot of the things in aromatherapy have to do with helping you to relax and help with some of the side effects. But one that I came across, what to ease night sweats and promote sleep, it says, is to use a ratio of lavender, marjoram, and lime essential oils. And then you... put them in a use them in an aromatic bath, but you would have to put them like in Epsom salts. You just can't add oils to water because oil and water obviously does not mix. So you put them in something like a combination of Epsom salts and baking soda, and use it in a bath and you know, kind of soak with that before you go to bed. Another oil that's good for menopause, or actually for a lot of female things, is clary sage. And that was a essential oil that when I was taking my coursework, they said was, you know, kind of the woman's best friend was clary sage. And there's I just have a hot flash formula here using clary sage, again, geranium, lemon, and sage, and putting it in a carrier oil, and then massaging on yourself. There's different
like
places.
Just anywhere, or?
Well, you know, this just says uses a general all-over body massage oil. But you can always, you know, I always feel like if you don't have time for that or don't want to get all oiled up or whatever.
Yeah.
Just the bottoms of the feet, or I usually tell people, again, to use the bottom of your feet, maybe rub across your abdomen, your inner wrist. Those are all good places to go. But the general rule of thumb is when in doubt, use the feet because the skin cells are bigger. Are bigger there. It absorbs better through the feet, which seems surprising.
So, okay, because you think, I think aromatherapy, I think I have to have it close to where I can smell it. And my feet are the furthest away from my nose.
Exactly. Well, aromatherapy, there have been some tests done where you put something on the bottom of your feet or on your skin, just like you can with topical medications, and 20 minutes later, it's able, or components of it, chemical components, are detected in your bloodstream. So it does absorb through the skin, just like your pharmaceuticals do, that, you know, you put on patches and all kinds of things like that. It works in a similar way. But also, diffusers are good things to use if you want to use, you know, and diffuse it and inhale it, because using, you know, once you inhale it, it goes right to your large surface of your lungs and goes right to, affects your limbic system and everything. So inhaling or massaging or aromatic baths, all those are good ways to do it.
Wow. Yeah, I just found a site that has 38 benefits and uses for clary sage oil. So it must be good stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like the lavender for women. Where lavender is the Swiss knife of aromatherapy, clary sage is said to have many useful benefits for women's issues.
Nice. So, Angie, do you have any types of, I don't know if it's Reiki, or is there anything that you can do on yourself that you would recommend?
Well, I can do Reiki on myself, but I don't know if it has any benefits in that way. But Reiki itself balances the energy systems in the body, so when the hormones are out of balance, it would certainly not hurt to try it.
Yeah.
I've never done any experiments to see if that really made a difference for anyone when it comes to hot flashes, so you just gave me an idea.
You're welcome. Well, and I'm going to go on the whole path of exercise. I mean, that's tons and tons of benefits for, you know, and, you know, I see women of all shapes and sizes, and you know, I was just at a Chicago Women's Conference last week. I had a display for Cool Cami, and it was interesting, all the kind of the different women that would come by, and, you know, some women would just stop and ask about the product and how it works and how the liners work. And, you know, I saw every age group, every size, but a lot of them, I could tell, look like they don't do any exercise, you know, and it's just, that's the cheapest, easiest home remedy of them all, you know, and certainly, you know, women complain about, you know, the survey I did on Facebook about what's your most common complaints about menopause and weight gain came in pretty high. And, you know, so I'm just thinking, you know, there's other ways that you can ease up some of the problems that you're having with menopause by just simply exercising, you know, getting out and walking. Now that hopefully all the bad weather's beyond us for the season. But simple, like you said, weight-bearing exercises. I'm a big promoter of kettlebell. Kettlebell is a full-body kind of workout, and it uses weights, but it still gets your heart rate up. Walking up and down stairs is another easy one that people can do that doesn't cost any money. You don't have to belong to a gym or fitness center. And then, you know, there's a lot of apps out there that you can use to kind of be your little your coach and personal trainer. And then YouTube and iTunes has a lot of free videos that you can watch, especially I used to do a lot of yoga just from a free iTunes podcast. You know, so there's just tons and tons of stuff out there that can help with that, and that helps with your sleep patterns. It helps with digestive system. And Laura, I mean, you have a whole chapter on it in your book, too.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know, what are some of the actual physiology components of exercise that help with that, too?
Yeah.
Well,
I think a lot of us...
Colleen.
I was just going to say that I think a lot of us, you girls, have wonderfully been able to make it for many years a priority in your life, and it's just as much a part of your life as eating, drinking, and brushing your teeth. But for those of us that haven't, it's a very hard routine to get into, and most of us are working and have families, as you guys all have too. And, you know, I come home and I'm beat. And by the time you get home and you get, you know, if you have to make supper for a family and then all the extraneous things that go around with supper and children, and, well, hopefully by menopause the children are somewhat grown. But it's a very difficult routine to get into. And I struggle with it every day. It's like, well, you guys probably saw, you know, my husband and I are training to walk the Camino in Spain this summer, or at least part of it, the last 100 kilometers. Mm-hmm. So we started out really good, you know, last weekend. We did 5 miles one day, 4 miles another day. And then Monday I got home from work and it's hot. It's like 80 degrees outside. And it's like, okay, but we're going to do this. And so we did, you know, a little bit because I'd been very busy at work and had already put in, you know, almost 4 miles on my feet at work. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, yep, nothing. And Friday, I didn't get home last night until almost 9 o'clock. So it's very hard, you know, to really get into that routine and have that commitment that you guys have had for many, many years. And you know, we all struggle with that. The other thing, too, is I think maybe you guys have talked.
Uh-oh. We lost Colleen.
Uh-oh.
She's down.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what happened to her. Well, what I was going to comment on that is, you know, people will say, well, Ash, you're so busy. How do you fit in exercise?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, it's because I exercise, I have energy to do all this stuff.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You just have to schedule timing your day just like anything else.
Yeah, and I, you know, for me, I don't get first thing in the morning because I know when I get home at night after working 10, 11 hours a day,
right,
I'm not going to have the ambition to do it. But like last night I got home and it's nice out, so then I'm more likely to go for a walk in the evening, but still I got to get to the gym in the morning. And I do have more energy throughout the day. It makes a huge difference.
Oh, here she's back again.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Right.
I dropped the call.
But what I was saying when you fell off, I hope that didn't hurt, is that the exercise gives you more energy to do all the other stuff. And so that's what I tell people, because they're like, how do you squeeze this in? Because, you know,
right.
And it's hard. When you have different, you work odd hours, and it's, if it's 9 o'clock at night or whatever, but you just find, even if it's just, I'm going to do sit-ups at home, or I'm going to do, you know, something before I go to bed. I mean, that you know, there's two arguments against that. It's going to rev you up so you won't sleep, but sometimes it wears you out so you do sleep. You know, so I just think, you're right, and you do have to make it a just, like you say, like brushing your teeth. It's just you don't question it. It's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a habit. You have to do it 20 times in a row or something like that, I think, to make something a habit. So,
something like that.
Now, there's, Laura, you talk a lot about sleep and ways to get good sleep. So that's, I think, another kind of home remedy that so many people, that's the other thing that people complain a lot about is not getting good sleep.
Right. So some things that can help with that, if we're talking about home remedies that you can have, are like passion flower tea, and also you can do evening primrose tea, or you can also get them in a capsule form. Those have been shown to potentially help women with sleep dysregulation around menopause. And if I was going to take a couple of other things out of my kitchen to help regulate hormones and some of the issues with menopause, coconut oil is very important to helping regulate metabolism, hormone balance, and also you might even use it as a lubricant for vaginal dryness for women, believe it or not. Maca powder comes from a root plant out of Peru. You want to make sure if you buy maca, M-A-C-A, that it is Peruvian maca. And that is really big right now with a lot of your hormone specialists recommending maca.
Is it a pill? Is it a powder? What is that?
Usually, I mean, you can find it in a pill. You can also find it like in a powder, like for almost like a protein, you know, put it powder that you put in like your protein shake or something in the morning. That can help regulate hormone balance. It's got a lot of good B vitamins and minerals in it. So indirectly, it's helping modulate hormones. It's also been reported to be good for helping libido as well. So those are some things that you can, you know, have as part of your daily diet, so to speak, that might help regulate hormone balance.
Nice.
So have you tried it, Laura?
The maca powder?
Yeah,
I have not tried maca powder. I've thought about it. coconut oil, definitely. I have coconut oil in my house all the time. Extra virgin cold press.
So I got to ask, though. I have coconut oil. I actually use it on my skin. Oh, you know, I'll put it on my face at night. But what's some good ways to use it in food? Because I struggle with that one.
You can replace it as your cooking oil, for one, because it's more stable at high temperatures. You can use it if you're baking something that requires, you know, butter you know, a shortening of any kind, you just, you know, equal trade-off using coconut oil. You can use it in place of, like, butter on a sweet potato. So any place you would use a butter or shortening, I've even put it into a smoothie and put it in, incorporated it that way.
How much?
In the smoothie, I would, you could do up to 2 tablespoons, but I would probably do like a tablespoon, and you can get the other tablespoon another way. So the benefits, usually they recommend 1 to 2 tablespoons a day to, you know, consistently.
That's a good idea. So if we want to have, we really want to increase your libido, then we should make a shake with maca powder and coconut oil.
Absolutely. There you go.
There you go, ladies.
And if you're a little dry, use the coconut oil for lubricant.
We should, yeah, we should have men on here and say, all right, guys, look out now. We're going to be expecting some behaviors from you.
Yeah, maca powder is what's known as an adaptogen as well. So if a lot of women, you know, in menopause have adrenal fatigue or just because of chronic stress, so their adrenals, which produce their cortisol, which can affect their energy, their mood, their weight. Adaptogens can kind of help that. So maca is also known as an adaptogen. So it's really good from that standpoint. Now, if you are a tea drinker, there's also a tea out there that's very high in vitamin C, which is good for your adrenals. Calcium is really important at that age, and that you're getting enough protein. So there's actually an organic tea out there called Moringa that's very high in vitamin C and calcium and protein and potassium. That's you can find it out there. You want to get an organic Moringa tea. It's Moringa. So that's really good. Also, another tea called a green tea called matcha. I think that's M-A-T-C-H-A is also really good as well.
So I just found a website that says Maca, Peru's natural Viagra.
Absolutely. That is what it's known as.
Well,
it's worth a try.
Worth try it out. Yep. We'll post that on Facebook. Be all over it. Okay, so let's see. How much time do we have left? We are down to the last 2 minutes of our show. So is there anything that I haven't covered that you guys have thought of?
As far as home,
like,
remedies?
Home remedies, yeah.
Well, yeah, there's other ones out there that can be used. I mentioned the evening primrose and the passion flower tea. If red clover is one we did not talk about. That's another one that can help with hot flashes.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be able to find that in a tea form. Ginseng can help with the immune system and your adrenals. So that's another one. It's also a known adaptogen.
What was that one,
there's
Laura?
There's also ginseng.
Oh, ginseng. Okay.
Ginseng, yeah, there's different types of ginseng. Mm-hmm. And there's another herbal out there that helps with hot flashes and libido that I don't know as much about, that's called Damiana. So there's lots of different things out there, but number one is a healthy diet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Yeah, and I don't know if this would be something else we'd cover another time, but you talk about probiotics.
Uh-huh.
And you eat food that's been like sauerkraut. What do you call that? Where you
fermented food.
Fermented food, yeah.
Yeah.
But somebody says you should eat that every day, but not like this whole huge helping. I mean, how much fermented food would you say would be good for somebody each day?
I don't know. Probably a half a cup would be a good measure. But you don't buy store-bought sauerkraut. Make your own.
How do you make it?
You make it with cabbage.
You what?
Make it with cabbage.
Well, I know that.
Do you guys know that a couple of my coworkers. You know, I live in Grinnell, Iowa, and the local community college here, the satellite of the college, did a while back have a class on how to make your own sauerkraut. And a couple of my coworkers from work actually went to it and have made it. And the one gal said she thought it turned out pretty good. I've never been. I don't know. Maybe homemade sauerkraut tastes better than store-bought sauerkraut. Just, you know, I'm not a little bit on a hot dog once in a blue moon. And although
yeah.
I have had, yeah.
Okay. Well, we're completely out of time. We're past time. And so, once again, thank you, ladies, for joining us on Menopause Sisters. And if you have any suggestions or ideas, our listeners out there, for things you'd like us to cover, just send me an email, nmonroe@coolcammy.com.